1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Beginning at verse 19, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God and the instruction and the chastising and the comfort that it brings. Just so many areas of what we need, you able to supply through the word of God. Now we ask you to do that work this morning. Please help our pastor now as he comes and preaches, to help us to hear what you have for us individually today. And Father, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'll ask that you make sure your cell phone is turned off or turned to vibrate. We have snipers in this room who will shoot you if it goes off. And we don't want to get your blood on the people's clothes next to you. So help us with that. We would appreciate that very, very much today. In 35 years of ministry, I've often wondered, what's the difference in among Christians and how they live their Christian life? Because not everybody lives the Christian life the same way. And they didn't in Jesus' day either. He had, remember, he had 12 apostles, 12 disciples that went with him everywhere. One of them turned out to be a traitor, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a crippled slave. Three of them were Peter, there were Peter, James, and John. They were the inner circle guys, but they just wanted to be really close to Jesus, so they got to see something even the other 12 did not. Those other eight fellows, you couldn't name them most likely. They were come, they were gone. We don't really know much about them, to be honest with you. But then there was that great crowd of people who followed Jesus everywhere he went. That's the same crowd that was fed at his hand. Same crowd who saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. Same crowd who stood just a few days before his trial and crucifixion and held palm fronds and said, "Hosanna to the highest," and praised his name. Same crowd cried out for his blood and said, "Crucify him and let Caesar be our king." What is it? What's the difference now? Listen, I've often wondered myself, what is that? Why is it like some Christians, I mean, they're in. They're faithful. They want to serve God. To them, what God asks of them isn't really an issue. I mean, they're the backbone of every church. They're the blessing of every pastor. I mean, they're in. Then there are some who, frankly, they never really quite get past a few issues in their life, or something easily comes up. You know, there's a soccer game, they're gone, and there's a thing, there's hunting season, and they got to go shoot Bambi. And stuff like, you know what I'm talking about? It's rainy and they stay home because there's sugar in their melt or something. I'm not sure. You understand what I mean? There are some Christians, they just never quite get their foot all the way in this thing. And for some people, the Christian life really isn't any more important than a bumper sticker on their car. I mean, Sunday morning they'll show up, but and then really when it comes right down to their Christian life, how they live their Christian, see, it's called a Christian life because it's supposed to be your life. It's what you are 24/7. All through your life. Some folks, they come to church and this is it right here. They're going to leave it right here and then walk out the door and then that's it to them. So what's the difference? You see what I'm saying this morning? By the way, I'm not criticizing any group today. Let me also say this to you very carefully, by the way. If we only see your face once a week, we're happy you're here. Are we good about that? Are we clear now? Listen, I'm glad you're here. You don't have to do anything to make me happy. You understand that? Well, you can give me a gift certificate to Chicken Shack. But I mean, other than that, you don't have to do anything to make me. Notice I dropped that hint in there. That's pretty sneaky, isn't it? That's right. Okay, the point is this. I said Chicken Shack. Write that down. Okay, the point is this. But it's not about what I doing what pleases Mike Johnson. I'm just glad you're here. For whenever you show up, you know, Easter's coming up. We have what we call Easter lilies. Oh, those are the flowers that grow in the garden. No, those are people who show up every Easter. And then they're gone. You won't see them till next Easter, maybe Christmas. But you know what? I'm glad. If they come in at Easter, I'm glad they're here at Easter. That's not the issue this morning. Now, that's our new baby. That's Lucas, Alexander, Michael Ray Johnson, Barber. It's so funny. It's like you never heard a baby cry. What was that? Okay, let's get back to the subject this morning. All right, here we go. So what is the difference? How come, listen to me, how come it's all the way in and some are just kind of doing the old dipping the toe in and going, that's it for me thing? What is that with the Christian life? Why is there such a difference? You know, there could be many reasons, but I'm going to give you one reason I think is the primary reason. It's verse 20, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. It says, for you're bought with a price. It's how, listen, it's how they value the price of what it cost to make them a Christian. It's how they value it. It's like any, it's a valuation system this morning. Very simple. It's how they value the price that was paid to make them a Christian. Now, let me be very clear this morning. If you don't hear anything else I say today, please hear this statement. You do not pay a price to become a Christian. That price has already been paid. The price we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 6:20 is the price of the bloody cross, the Savior, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross to pay for our sins. On that cross, Jesus Christ became the substitution for the payment of our sins. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus has paid the price to make you a Christian. And you become a Christian because you accept the price Jesus paid as your substitution, your forgiveness, your salvation, that makes you a Christian. That's why Jesus said a man had to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. You paid no price to come into this life. You had nothing to do with it. That's why I often say we have our birthday, we ought to give presents to your mom. She's the one who did all the work. You paid no price to come into this life. No price for the conception, no price for the pregnancy, no price for the birth. You paid no price. It was paid for you. That's what salvation is. Listen to me. That's what makes you a Christian. You don't make yourself a Christian. You don't live the life to become a Christian. You don't live a Christian life. That's why, listen now, listen. That's why morality, good life, will not get you to heaven. You have to come to Jesus Christ as a sinner who needs to be saved and get salvation paid for and accept the full payment that Jesus made. Jesus didn't make a down payment on the cross for him. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid the full price. When he cried from the cross, it is finished. It's the old expression of telestai in the marketplace. When a person agrees on a price and he pays the price for what he purchases, the seller takes that price and says, telestai, it is finished. No more payment. It's all done. It's all been paid. I accept the price. It's all done. That's what Jesus did. That's how you become a Christian. You look at the cross of the Savior, Jesus Christ, and say, he did that for me, Mike Johnson, and paid the price for my sins. And it was a horrible price, dear people. It was horrible for many reasons. One of them, I think the greatest thing about the price Jesus paid at the cross was this. He was perfect. He was sinless. He never did anything wrong. And he had to become sin for us. Not to mention that they stripped him naked and nailed him in a public place where criminals are executed, beat him like an animal until you couldn't even tell he was a human being anymore, ribs sticking out of his rib cage, pulling himself up for every breath with nails through his hands and his feet, the struggle of his life, the fact that Jesus was hung up between a holy, righteous God and a sinful mankind, and he stepped in the way of the wrath and judgment of God, and Jesus paid the price. That's the price with which we are bought. So we don't pay a price to become a Christian. It's been paid. You accept Christ's payment, you become a Christian because you trust Jesus as your personal Savior and no one or nothing else. And you're not a Christian until you do. Well, I got my own terms. You're not accepting God's terms. You face God, you have to accept His terms. His terms are already recorded in that book. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care how good you are, how godly you are, and how spiritual you are. You'll split hell wide open until you trust the payment Jesus made because of the price that he paid. That's why, dear people, just as an analogy, please, that's why this flag over here, this is not a washcloth. It's not a bedspread. Huh? Saw a bumper sticker a while back said, I'm thankful for the First Amendment rights that gives you the right to burn the flag and my Second Amendment rights to shoot you if you try to burn mine. See, there's red stripes in this thing because somebody paid a price for the freedoms we enjoy in this country. That's not to be bandied about, and it's not to be assumed or taken for granted. We have the price of a child of God paid for us by Jesus Christ. God won't let anybody to heaven. No one, absolutely no one, until they trust Christ for their salvation. So are we clear now? The price has been paid. You don't pay a price to become a Christian. However, to live the Christian life once you've become a child of God is going to cost you. It won't cost you to go to heaven, but it will cost you to live the way he wants you to on this earth. You ever consider the fact that when Jesus told people that wanted to follow him, he said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his Simmons beauty rest, futon, air conditioning, and when you feel like it, show up. What did Jesus say? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then he said this, for if any man will keep his life for his sake, he will lose it. If any man will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. He's not talking about living and dying. He's talking about giving up the life you're supposed to live. It'll cost you something to live like a child of God on this earth. There is a price involved. And to me, see, here's the difference then. Some people who are all the way in, and I mean all the way in, they got saved, they trusted Christ as their Savior, they got a salvation they did not deserve, a grace they did not earn, mercies they could not work for, and God gave them salvation because of the price that Jesus paid, and then anything he asked from them after that is no big deal because of the price that was paid, because they were bought with a price, and they value that price. So then, why is it there's a difference in how some people live their Christian life? Because some people consider the price of the Christian life to be too high. He wants too much. The price is too high. I mean, what does he want from me? I mean, I'm not killing anybody. First of all, thank you that you don't do that. Those of us who live around you would like to say thank you that you don't go around killing people. We're thankful for that. That's nice. But excuse me, there are moral people who don't do that. But then when you start talking about the Christian life and that it's take up a cross, follow him. Jesus said, if any man will come after me. It's an expression. It's a slave-master expression where the slave was to come after the master right here behind him at all times. And when you saw someone in a public place walking this way and there was someone standing right there beside him, right just behind him, right within reach of his right hand, but just behind him, he was coming after the master. Well, they knew what that meant, that's the slave, that's the master. If any man will come after me, it was a slave master. Jesus is the master. We are his purchased slaves. Now, we don't like that idea. I mean, come on. After all, it's my life and I'll live the way I want. I'll do it my way. They look at the price of the Christian life. The fact that God asks of us to give him our heart and our lives, and they think to themselves, it's too much. So some people never get in. And I'm not saying they're not saved. They trust Christ. You know, if you ask them, are you a Christian? Yeah, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, tell me about your salvation. When did you get saved? They could give you a testimony of salvation just like that, accepted Christ as their Savior when they were a kid or some there in their life and blah, 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 blah. And then you ask them about their Christian life and they'll say, well, frankly, I don't really have much to do with anything. Fascinating. Then you've forgotten the price that was paid. We've forgotten what it cost Jesus to give us the right to say that I'm a child of God. When I was getting out of the service in 1975, I was an air traffic controller. I wanted to take that job when I got out. I didn't know God was going to call me to be a pastor. And they were backlogged on hiring people for air traffic control in the States. A friend of mine told me about the fact that Canada was hiring controllers. They wanted them desperately. They needed them desperately. I got nothing against Canada. It's a beautiful country, very nice and all that kind of stuff. Even though they say A all the time. You know, A. They don't know how to say Z. They say Z. Okay, I could live with that. And they were paying good money for people with experience for air traffic control. I applied while I was still in the service, sent off my application. They sent it back, said, be glad to hire you, offer you a position, and then right there in the application form, it said, you have to become a Canadian citizen. Now, at that time, they were not offering dual citizenship, which means I would have to renounce my United States citizenship to become a Canadian citizen. I looked at that, rolled it up, threw it in the trash. I said, I'll go home and flip burgers before I give up my citizenship. Because, see, someone paid a price so I could have that. So to me, it's not lightweight. That's important to me, right? So now look at me. I'm a child of God. Nothing to brag about. I had somebody one day tell me, you say you're saved. How arrogant. No, I'm not arrogant. I'm a very humble, thankful man. And I'm humble and I'm proud of it. I'm very humble and I'm a very thankful. You should get that now. I'm very humble and I'm thankful for that, ladies and gentlemen. But I didn't earn the right. I was paid for me. I was bought and put in. Now he comes to me and says, Mike Johnson, the eternal life I have given you, you're guaranteed and you can't lose it. It's secure. Now, what I would ask of you, though, is to give me the life you have now. And then we start going, ah, you hear the brakes going on. And Christians saying, wait a minute, hold on now. Let's not get crazy about this Christian life thing. You have forgotten the price that was paid. You have forgotten, and again in your Bibles, please, it says, no, you're not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. No. You're not your own anymore. Well, I can choose to do what I want. You can, but you're choosing, listen to me, you're choosing to despair and to do despite to the price that was paid for you. Never look at the cost of the Christian life without looking at what it costs to make you a Christian. You see it right? It's no big deal. It just isn't. Another illustration. My wife, this year, this December the 6th, if she stays with me. Hey, I take it a day at a time. I push my limits sometimes. Nothing morality, by the way, just stuff. You know what it's like to be married to a smart aleck for 40 years? It's brutal. I have taken that lady, listen to me, I came to her one day with I had a good job, a good income, et cetera. Told her we're going across to Chicagoland area to go to Bible college and go in the ministry. She said, yes, okay, whatever. Never asked a question, never doubted anything, never said nothing. We got in a truck with one son at the time, drove across America, set up, went to Bible college for 4 years, worked a full-time job, went to school full-time, slept 3-4 hours a day for 4 years. She gave birth to 2 of our children while we were there. Dragging them to church in the snow and the ice and the cold in Chicago. Some of you young parents, you need to figure this out now. That little kiddo will make it. You just truck that little bugger up and bring him to church. You'll be all right. And so now listen, but the point is this. Now, hear me. The point is then after that, I said, now, honey, God has called us to go to Redding, California and start a church from scratch. No land, no building, no people, no money, nothing. And we have a dime of support. We're independent Baptists. We're not denominational Baptists. And call headquarters. I asked headquarters to help take care of us. She said, okay, fine. And we loaded up. Her grandparents came out and we had a truck. They had a big motor home with a trailer behind it that we put the sides up on it. Got cardboard boxes from the furniture store and lined that thing and packed it. Looked like the Beverly Hillbillies. Going down the highway of that thing, all the stuff packed in there, came to town, set up, started this church, no land, no building, no people, no money, nothing. She never came to me. In all these years, she's never questioned anything about budget or money or items or anything like that. Now, here is the point. There's anything that lady couldn't ask of me I wouldn't do my very best to do. I didn't say everything. Look, it took her 20 years to get me to put the toilet seat down. I mean, there's training processes that go on. You know, turn your T-shirt right side out when you take it off. What difference does it make? It washes just as good when it's inside out. What difference does it make? Who's this thing about putting away clothes all the time? You're going to put them on in a week. They're just right there. Pull it out from the bottom. It's no big deal. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's certain things she can ask me I'm just not going to do. But other things, when truth of the matter is, I would do my dead level best. You know why? Because I owe this lady right here a great price that she has paid. I owe my country a great price that's paid for me. I owe people in my life a great price that's paid for me. And now it comes to my Christian life, and he's asked something from me who has paid the greatest of all prices, who stepped in the way of sin and righteousness and judgment of God and took upon himself God's wrath so I could be saved and given heaven and eternal life. And he's asking me to do what? Whatever. Because you value the prize. See, some are not in because they just don't understand the value of the price. Others, they consider the price and they're thankful for it. But see, to them, the Christian life isn't really about paying a price. It's about giving a donation. I'm not talking about passing the plate. We'll do it again if it'll make you comfortable. It's kind of like the preacher who got up in his pulpit one Sunday and said, "It's been reported to me there's a man in this church who has been immoral. And he is married, and I am going to read his name from this pulpit tonight if there's not a $100 bill in that offering plate." They took the offering. There was 10 $100 bills and two IOUs. Okay, I mean, if it make you comfortable, whatever. I mean, I'm not talking about the donation of a dollar in the offering plate. I'm talking about the donation of your life. I'm sorry you came Sunday morning, but that's the Sunday morning mentality. You know, I'll go Sunday morning, but frankly, I mean, it might rain tonight. And the kids have got school tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And we got to go to bed at 10 because we're going to watch TV. You understand what I'm saying? We're making donations of our time and our effort. And it's still like paying a price. It's still like doing something. Listen now, but it's not all the way in yet, because after all, we're going to put that toe thing in there and get a little and do a little bit more than the other guys who are not really doing anything. We're more in than the Easter Lily Christians. We're more in than this Christmas poinsettia Christians. We're more in than that. But I'm not going to get all the way crazy about this thing. I'm not going to go all the way on this matter. Now, I'm going to hold back just enough. You see, that crowd, they have also forgotten the price that was paid. That's your bought with a price. What I should give him, it should be at least to, it'll never be the same. I'll never be able to equal what Jesus has done for me. Never. Ladies and gentlemen, if I quit today, got on a slow boat to China and went over there in those countries and worked with lepers and worked with the poor and spent the rest of my life in poverty, it wouldn't even touch the hem of the garment of what Jesus did to give me salvation. I could never pay him back for it. There is no way. Since I'm already so amazed by the price that he would pay, what is he asking of me? Well, it says in there in verse number 20, you're supposed to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Would you notice in your King James Bible that spirit is lowercase s? That's a small s, brother. Lowercase s. That's not Holy Spirit. That's your spirit. Hey, you know what that is? Body, spirit. External, internal. So sound like he wants it all. Pew. Bingo, to quote an old Catholic expression. Yeah. All of it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body's a living sacrifice. He wants it all. And a donation is not what he's looking for. Say, well, that's what he'll get. Yes, and you know what? The amazing thing about God is he'll be thankful for the little donation that you gave him, but you're still not giving what you should because you forgot that you're not your own, that you bought with a prize. See, nothing scatters the covey like this kind of preaching here this morning. You want to get a bunch of nervous Christians? You start laying down what a Christian life really ought to be instead of that go-to-church thing where everybody's, you know, sloppy agape and we're going to do the BB spitting and waving the flags and we got the coffee shop out in the foyer and everybody's kind of kicking back and relaxing. We put out the couches so we can all put our feet up and take it easy while we're in church. And then the Reverend Ed gets up there who's been smoking on a cigarette, preaches a sermonette, and we kind of go on about our ways, and he sends us off to our champagne and scrambled eggs and patches on a popo so we can go on and do the stuff that we want to do. That's popular Christianity, but that's not biblical. Biblical Christianity is you take up your cross, you follow him like a master has a slave and you're the slave and he's the master. He leads, you follow. He feeds, you swallow. And he takes, and he wants everything he paid for, and he paid for it all. It's a good old an illustration, but it's a great one. You go into a car dealership and you negotiate the price of that car. Once you negotiate the price of that car, you pay the price for that automobile. And you put that money down on the counter, or you finance it, or whatever you do. And now you, after you sign a stack of paperwork that could start a war in a third world country, you can actually buy a car nowadays. And you buy that car. And then you get ready to go. He hands you the keys and a hubcap. And you look at that and you say, what's this? And he goes, that's what you get today. Come back tomorrow, I'll give you the other one. And you said, for what? He goes, that's what you're getting from the car you just purchased. He said, no. I bought the whole car. I want the whole car. He goes, no, you get it a piece at a time. And I'll give you as much of it as I decide you get. I paid for the car, you give me all of the car. You wouldn't walk up that lot without that automobile, would you? Now, some of you are right there going, yeah, I wouldn't. No, you can't get around that one. Because you know what I'm going to apply it to. Jesus paid for my salvation. He saved me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. He saved me body, soul, and regenerate spirit. He gave me everything, and now he's asking me to turn around and take this life I have here and give it back to him. That's not too much. I mean, stop putting that toe in that Christian water life thing and making a little donation. Here you go, God. I'll give you one of these. Here you go, God. I'll give you that one. That's good. Thank you. Don't touch that dollar. I got to glue it back together. Because because they're setting the price for the Christian life instead of realizing the price has already been paid. It's his life. Excuse me. I'm not my own. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not mine to do what I want to with it. Will he let you? Yep. Will he be happy? Nope. No. Because it's not mine, it's his. You start telling Christians about things they can and cannot do as a Christian, they start thinking, well, what a legalist. Well, first of all, you're theologically ignorant. Legalism means to add works to salvation. The dictionary definition of legalism, however, is this: to add, to hold to strongly a belief or practice based on truth. In that respect, we are legalists. If everything the Bible says we're supposed to do, we're supposed to do, we're going to do that. If the Bible says we're not supposed to, we're not going to do that. And if we're not sure, we ain't going to do it until we know for sure one way or the other. You see, dear people, listen to me. This idea of the Christian life being different, it's not that it's different. Well, some people are in and some people are not. No, some people still value the price that was paid, that you were bought for the price. The same blood that washed me from my sin, saved me from hell, saved you from the same hell. The same Savior loved me that loves you. The price of the Christian life, they compare it to the price that was paid, and they give him everything. That's what some do. That's why they do that. Oh, I know there's some people who go to church, they do the stuff that they do to be recognized and all that kind of stuff, but quite frankly, you don't get a lot of recognition around here. It's not that we're trying to ignore people. There's just a lot of people who do a lot of different things in this church, and they're amazing. Really, the people are amazing. The work that gets done in this church every week, it's amazing. That's why you're not going to see Shasta Baptist Church in community projects where we rake leaves and pick up trash. Let the liberals do that. They got nothing else to do. We got buses to run. We got rescue mission, nursing home, jails, hospitals, house to house, door to door. We got enough to keep us busy. We don't need to go rake leaves to show we care about our community. By the way, we have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars just to provide bus transportation for people to be able to go to church who don't have it. So don't talk to me about community concern. We love our community. We love this place. But you're not going to see us get involved in that kind of stuff because that's not what we do. So don't ask me to do that. By the foolishness of raking, he would save some. That's not what the Bible says. We believe in giving the gospel to people, loving them and giving them the gospel, telling them what the Bible says. It's incredible what goes on in this church every week. But people who get, they work their 40, 50-hour weeks, 60-hour weeks. They still go to church, drive buses, teach Sunday school, work in nurseries, help children's ministries. They still do all the stuff that they do. They come early and practice for the choir. They still do all the stuff you and I do. That when we say, well, after all, it's been a long week. A long week. I had a young man come up to me one day and he said, well, I'm just kind of tired. I worked 40 hours this week. And I thought, and? He goes, 40 hours, that's a full week. And it is. By the clock of work, yeah, 40 hours. Starting from Sunday to the Thursday of that week, I already put my 40 hours in. But it's okay. It's okay. Don't pat me on the back. I'm not looking for applause or anything like that. It's the truth of the matter is, it's okay. But you see, dear people, look at me. I'm sorry. And I don't know why I'm apologizing, because I've got nothing to apologize for. He saved me when I was a 9-year-old boy in an American Baptist church in Antioch, California. I lived in a drunkard's home. Someone told me God loved me, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I'm 61 years old. 52 years later, he's been faithful to that price he has paid all these years, though I have not. And now what does he want from me? I'm sorry. It just doesn't really matter, you know. What else? What do you want now? What can I do? Is there something else that you want or need? I know there's some that come that try to put on a show and a display. I can't answer for every hypocrite that ever walked across the planet of this earth. But that's all right, because there's a bunch of people who do that in other areas, and you don't quit those places. So get off that sorry, tired excuse. You and I just need to consider this. We are bought with a price. Therefore, my body, my spirit, which is my attitude, my way of thinking, my philosophy, everything about my life, that's his. This body right here, this is not my own. I can't go do what I want to with it. He'll let me, but that's not what he wants. Because you see, these are not mine. This is not mine. This is not mine. See, the difference in the Christian life is, how do you value the price that was paid to make you a Christian? That changes everything, doesn't it? In the middle 1800s, there was a slave market auction. In the day when human beings were bought and sold as property, a young female black stood on an auction block. They began to bid for her. One old man in the back of the crowd, whatever was bid, he raised every bid. He kept bidding and bidding. And as she looked back and saw that old man back there, she thought to herself, I do not want him to be my master. He probably has nothing but unholy intentions. I do not want him to have anything to do with me. And the more he bid and the higher he bid, the more she hated him. And finally, he outbid everyone. She stood there in her manacles on her hands and her feet, looking at the man with nothing but hatred in her eyes and in her heart. And as the man paid the price and received the deed to own her, he walked up to her and she began to say something awful to him and tell him how much she hated him. And he told him to take the chains off, the manacles, hands and feet. And she stood there for a moment and he handed her the deed to her freedom. And he said, see, young lady, I bought you to set you free. Now, if you would like to come and serve as a servant in my household, you are welcome. But you're now free. And here's the bill of your freedom. And he handed it to her. He told her where he lived, and he walked away. You know, she served him the rest of her life. Because he paid the price and set her free. Yeah, I know we got a lot of Christians today who have their salvation. Wonderful. But how do you value the price that was paid for it? Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.